Good morning. Today we again follow the order of service in the bulletin. Our opening hymn is How Great Thou Art, hymn 801. And we will sing the refrain after the first verse and after the third and fourth, but not between the second and third. Is that right? Okay. So no refrain after the second verse. Thank you.
You to please stand, and we bow our heads again in prayer. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. We read together Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness, for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 344, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Refuge and our great reward.
The Word of God, which we consider today, is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is prepared before me, or is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." You may be seated. We pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we again ask your Holy Spirit's blessing upon the speaking and the hearing of your word today, that we might be strengthened and built up in the true faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and hold fast to him unto life everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we consider the question, who is John the Baptist? Of course, his title pretty much explains who it is that we're talking about. He is John the Baptist, not meaning that he is of the modern-day Baptist faith, but that he was the baptizer. He was the one who was sent by God to baptize. And so we see that, you know, it says this is the record of John. This is his witness. This is what he said of himself. When the Jews sent chief priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" We read that he confessed, he denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And so John freely admitted and said, "I am not the Messiah. I'm not the anointed one promised of God in the Old Testament who is to come into this world and take away the sins of the world." He said, "I'm not the anointed one. I'm not the Messiah." They asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" You know, the Bible has spoken about Elijah coming again. In fact, in the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi, the last verses of that book, we read these words. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so God had said that he would send Elijah the prophet. And they asked Jesus, you know, are you Elias? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. We might wonder, well, why did he say he's not when later Jesus said of John the Baptist that he is Elijah who was to come? The reason, apparently, is that what they were expecting, you know, in regard to the return of Elijah the prophet was not what John had come to do. And so he did not fulfill what they were thinking of, but he is indeed Elijah who came to prepare the way of the Lord. Not Elijah risen from the dead, but he came in the spirit and power of Elijah to carry out the work of calling God's people to repentance. We see this in Luke chapter 1 in the prophecy of Zacharias after the birth of John the Baptist. In chapter 1, toward the end of the chapter, he speaks of John the Baptist after he speaks about Jesus coming, or the Messiah coming. He says of John, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so indeed John was to do this work of Elijah, to call people back to God and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. But was he the Elijah that the Jews, the religious leaders of the Jews expected? And the answer is apparently no. And so then they ask him, "Art thou that prophet?" And we read this and we wonder, well, what prophet is he talking about here? But this takes us back to the writings of Moses in the Pentateuch, or the first five books. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, at verse 15, where Moses is reminding the people of God's law before he dies. And then he says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." In other words, you're to listen to him. And so Moses spoke of the day that God would send a prophet. And of course, this goes back to what happened at Mount Sinai some 40 years, close to 40 years before Moses spoke these words. When God spoke from the mountain, the people said, "Don't let God speak to us. You speak to us." They wanted a mediator between God and man because they were afraid of God, and they were afraid that if God spoke to them, they would die. And so Moses said there was going to be a prophet like him who would serve as this mediator, and they should listen to his words because he was going to be speaking the words of God. Now, who is that prophet that Moses wrote about? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's not John the Baptist. And so John answered, "No, he's not that prophet." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" So who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us here to ask you this question, these questions. What are we going to tell him? He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And here he refers to Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 3. And Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so John came to speak the word of God and to prepare people for the coming of their Messiah and Savior. Some speak of another coming of Elijah the prophet, that he will return again and bear witness to the world before Christ's coming. But essentially, that is the job of the church, of believers here, to bear witness and call the world to repent before the coming of the Messiah. And it says, and they that were sent were the Pharisees. And so, you know, it says that they sent priests and Levites, but they were of the party of the Pharisees, which means that they held to a very strict view of the law and to the traditions of the elders, and they believed that they could please God if they strictly followed all of these things, and they became very upset with people who did not follow them, because they thought that that would anger God against the people, and God would not send his Messiah and deliver them from their enemies. They asked and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? In other words, why are you out here baptizing people if you're not, you know, the Messiah? You're not Elijah. You're not that prophet. And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And then we're told that these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so John points out that he baptizes with water, but one is coming, one that they don't know, they don't recognize. He is coming after him, but he is preferred before him, and that he's not even worthy to, you know, do the latch on his sandals or his shoes or tie or untie his sandals. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, Behold, or look, you know, directing their attention to Jesus, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This testimony of John the Baptist certainly says it all. He came to point people to Jesus, and he calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It, you know, reminds us of the Passover lamb in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, or the lambs that are offered as sacrifices in the temple. This, he says of Jesus, is the Lamb of God, the one that God provides. And perhaps they might even think back to Abraham, when he was commanded to offer up Isaac on the mountain, and he's ready to kill his son Isaac, and God stops him. And then Abraham finds a ram caught in the thicket by its horns, and he offers it instead of his son, and says, you know, the Lord has provided this ram for a sacrifice. And so Jesus is the sacrifice that God himself is providing for the sins of the world. What a beautiful witness and testimony to Jesus. We might think also of Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, you know, all we like sin have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we read those verses, but we may not always think of them in terms of sacrifice. Because when sacrifices were made, often the hands were placed on the animal, and the animal was killed bearing their iniquity. Well, the Lord himself, Jehovah God himself, put our sins on his son, Jesus Christ. And he was offered as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, that you and I might be pardoned and forgiven. And what I want you to see by this is, you know, John the Baptist didn't try to start the Baptist church. He didn't try to start any church. John the Baptist came to point people to Jesus. He called upon all people, including the Pharisees, who weren't too happy about it, those who are self-righteous. He called upon all people to repent of their sins and look to the Messiah who was coming for pardon and forgiveness. You know, we see this in the gospel accounts about John the Baptist's ministry. Reading from Luke chapter 3, it says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests." I always like how Luke gives, he tells exactly when it happened. You know, what year of their reign and exactly when these things happened. And he says, "And the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And in order to help us understand this, it often happened when kings or emperors, those who were really high up in power and honor, came to visit. They had major road projects. I mean, they cleared out all the roads and they filled in all the valleys and they took down the high points so that it would be a nice smooth ride into their city. And so the way was prepared for them to come. And this was what John the Baptist was doing, not to prepare any earthly roads, but he was prepared the hearts of people by making low the proud, the self-righteous, pointing out and revealing their sins, and lifting up the humble by offering to them God's mercy and forgiveness through repentance and faith in the coming Messiah. And so he was preparing people's hearts for the coming of their Messiah and Savior as prophesied in the scriptures. And we see John's words as we continue on just a little bit more in Luke chapter 3. "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham, or unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And so John warned the people that they needed to repent. They shouldn't count on the fact that they're descendants of Abraham. I often like to say we shouldn't count on the fact that we were raised in the Lutheran church. But they needed to repent of their sins because the axe of God's judgment is already there at the root of the trees, ready to chop them down if they don't bring forth fruit. And so if we are truly sorry for our sins and truly trust in God's mercy in Christ Jesus for pardon and forgiveness, it's going to cause us to produce fruits in our lives. If there are no fruits, and no fruits ever come, eventually God's judgment comes, because where there are no fruits, there is no faith. There is no true repentance. And so God's judgment comes. And so John called the people to repent, and he pointed them to Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we can learn a lot from John the Baptist, because as Christ's church in this world, as believers in this world, you know, what are we and all people to be? Really, we're to continue the ministry of John the Baptist. We are not the Christ, and so we don't tell people, if you want to be saved, you have to be a member of our church. We are not Elijah or one of the prophets, but we are a voice crying out in the wilderness to prepare hearts for the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is to bring down the lofty, those who trust in themselves and their works, their own righteousness. We bring them down to a right understanding themselves through the proclamation of God's law, that none of us measure up, that we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, that our best works are filthiness in God's eyes, or one that really hurts is, you know, that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, people don't like to hear that. But we point out our sinfulness, that we are unacceptable to God, and then we point them to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, that they might believe in him and follow him. We don't direct people to ourselves. We point people to Jesus. Because we can save no one. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and God in his mercy can save anyone who looks in faith to Jesus for mercy and forgiveness. You know, as a very small congregation, you know, we would like to see our numbers grow, but really that's not our goal. Our goal is that people are directed and pointed to Jesus, and that they trust in him and are found ready for him when they die or when Christ returns, that they are found trusting in Jesus, that they might have forgiveness in life and be acceptable to God for one reason, through faith in Jesus Christ. I know we talked about that in Bible class, but I don't know how many of you noticed in our invocation prayer where it says, regarding our worship and our prayers, hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. You know, God does not hear us because, you know, we follow a certain ritual, or we wear certain garments, or we do things a certain way. God hears us for one reason and one reason only: what Jesus did to atone for our sins. And so we seek to make people ready for the coming of the Lord by directing them to place their faith and their trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so until then, we continue to be God's voice, his witness, calling upon all people to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this because Jesus said it. After his death and resurrection, before his ascension, he told his disciples, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me," talking about his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, or it was necessary for Christ, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. But he goes on, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said to his disciples, Ye are witnesses of these things. And so they bore record that Jesus suffered and died. They bore record to his miracles, showing that he is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah and Savior. And they directed people to repent of their sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in the preaching of the apostles in Acts chapter 3, when Peter, I believe it's Peter here, says, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And so he directed the people to repent and be converted, that their sins might be blotted out. Or we can think of the day of Pentecost, where Peter was preaching to the multitude, and they wondered, what should we do? He says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we today still call upon people to repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, to trust in Jesus and his cross for mercy and forgiveness, that they might be prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord. As we go on, John explains, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Jesus was actually born about 3 months after John, but he was before him because Jesus is the eternal Son of God, who took on human flesh and blood and came into this world. He says, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And here he references Jesus' baptism, where Jesus came to him, and when Jesus was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove and remained upon him. He says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And so the Spirit had revealed to John that the one upon whom the Spirit descended and remained was the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, very clear that, from the very beginning of the New Testament, Jesus is shown to be the Son of God, not just a man, but true God, come into this world to be our Savior. Before I close, I might mention that if you notice how John says, I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and other places, and with fire, with judgment. In many ways, this is also true today. As a pastor, I have baptized many people, but I only baptize them with water. It is God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who baptizes them with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who pours out his Spirit into their hearts. He's the one who gives them his Spirit, who brings them to know and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might say the same thing with the Word of God. I can read and preach to you and speak to you the Word of God, but it's the Lord Jesus who is speaking to you, who works in your hearts through that Word. We might even say the same thing of the Lord's Supper. I give you bread and wine and the Word of God, but it is the Lord Jesus who gives you his body and blood, who assures you of forgiveness for all your sins, and who strengthens and keeps you in that faith unto life everlasting. And so the point of, I think, this entire section is looking at John. You know, he didn't call attention to himself, but he pointed people to Jesus. We don't seek to call attention to ourselves, but we seek to point people to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who is God himself in human flesh and blood. He's the one who came into this world and fulfilled all righteousness for us and then suffered and died. And God laid on him the iniquity of us all, that we might trust in him, be baptized in him, and have our sins washed away, and be prepared and ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. God grant that we, like John the Baptist, prepare people for the coming of the Lord by calling upon all to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus. And of course, God also grant, and probably most important for each of us, that each of us also heed the warning of God's word and repent of our sins and hold fast to Jesus and his cross. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of John the Baptist, for his preaching, for his baptism, for he prepared the hearts of people for the coming of their Messiah and Savior. He pointed them to Jesus. We pray that we would heed his message and repent of our sins, not be proud or haughty, but humble ourselves before you and acknowledge our sins, our wickedness, and that we would place our faith solely in Jesus and his perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we pray that you would use us to point others to Jesus, that they too might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and so be saved. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offering. I invite you to please stand for our prayers. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, You gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers, that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away, and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember, especially today, John and Karen, Linda, Joyce, Carl, Richard, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We join also in the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We sing hymn number 618, I Come, O Savior, to Thy Table.
To thy table, for me and thee, we
you to please stand.
I receive the read the words of institution from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I invite you to come forward. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. If you would remain standing, we close by singing the common doxology, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, be seated. Again, a welcome to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God's richest blessings to all of you. I don't have any other special announcements unless I might say, I don't know if the heat worked today or not. I never felt it blowing, but it's a little better in here today. They were having them turn the thermostat up next door, thinking that maybe control this. And they said if it wasn't that, it's the thermostat across the hall, that they're waiting for some parts to fix it. And I'll have to tell them about the front door, too. The front door isn't working right either. So, any other announcements this morning? If not, again, God's richest blessing to you and the Lord Jesus. Thank you.